Welcome to another fabulous episode of All the Vegas, presented by Las Vegas Weekly Magazine at The Space, just off the world-famous Las Vegas Strip at Polaris and Harmon, the home of Monday's Dark. This is a landmark episode. Did you know this is episode 30 of All the Vegas that we're doing right now?
Really?
30.
Wow.
Does it feel like you've done this 30 times?
No. 30 for real?
Yeah.
I feel like we just started.
I know.
It's exciting. How that means 30 people have come here.
Well, think of all those people that came and those shows were crappy, so we didn't put them up.
We put them up.
That's never happened. I'm shocked that you haven't kicked me out of the space yet.
You live here.
I know.
It's because when your wife kicks you out of your house, you got to have some place to go crash.
That's been happening a lot.
There's actually a cot.
It's been happening a lot lately. Yeah, remind me to tell you the Paul McCartney story later on.
All right.
This is the story. I didn't take her to Paul McCartney.
Oh, I'd get kicked out for that too. Yeah. That's bad. Show 30 though.
That's why I'm sleeping on the carpet down here tonight.
There's a cot.
30 shows.
I like it. Here's to 30 more.
And this is an extra special episode because we're doing something a little bit different. I feel like we're gonna pull back the curtain on an aspect of Vegas that everybody knows about, but we don't really talk about that much. Mm-hmm. A very specific group of Vegas visitors who play an important role. They come to town a lot. They party super hard. They tell all their friends about how awesome Vegas is, but they also leave out certain details, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about bachelorette parties.
I love bachelorette parties.
How many bachelorette parties have you been to? I'm going to guess not very many.
Not very many, but I like witnessing the debaucherous elements that go into bachelorette parties. Mm-hmm. They're not hard to see when you're walking the strip.
You kind of always see them.
Yeah, they got uniforms and things.
Yeah.
They get shirts made and hats and special straws with things they put on the ends of the straws.
Yeah. They come from all over the place.
I use those straws in my daily life, actually. I've got one at home. It just sits on the counter.
They're always in really good mood,
too. Oh, yeah, they're clean. I disinfect it.
I'm not talking about the straw.
Just put it on the top of the dishwasher. They're safe as long as you put them on the top shelf of the dishwasher. They don't melt.
Top shelf only.
That's right. Top shelf only. This show's top shelf.
Straws aside, it is a fascinating group of people. So I feel like we're doing a little Vegas anthropology today. We're scientists now.
Bachelorette scientists. Come over here, young lady. I need to give you an examination.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know either. But we've got the absolute expert on this subject here to break it all down for us. The queen of the Vegas bachelorette party, Bree Steck. Welcome to All the Vegas.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thanks for being
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me. How fun.
That's right.
The queen?
Do you have like a PhD in Vegasness?
Yeah, I think that's what happens.
You're
when
the scientist.
You live here your entire life, right?
You are that rare species of a born and raised native Las Vegan. How did that happen? Like, why did your family come here?
I think for work. My grandparents moved here in the 40s. So they actually moved to Boulder City, and then my grandma would commute to the Strip every night for work. She worked at the Riviera. So she got to, you know, work and hang out during, like, the Rat Pack era and the mob and, you know, that whole entire scene, which is really cool, and she had really great stories. And then my aunts and uncles were all born here. We all lived in Boulder City,
awesome.
But commuted to Vegas. So it was kind of like the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Boulder City is like the pre-Summerlin.
Yeah.
Or Henderson.
It's like the same distance.
Yeah.
So when I leave my house in Green Valley and I drive to Boulder City, it's about the same as it is to go to Summerlin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as far as people think, but it's kind of like Pleasantville.
Oh, yeah. If you live in Henderson and your friends live in Summerlin and vice versa, you're never going to each other's houses.
You can't be friends anymore.
No, you got to just meet on the Strip.
You have to find new Summerlin friends.
Yeah.
Or just social media. Like, you know what they're doing because you...
Yeah. Well, I'm a West Side guy, and I rarely go east.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'd rather just meet you on the Strip because it's 20 minutes for me and it's 20 minutes for you.
Yep.
As opposed to 45 for me.
Exactly.
Or 45 for you.
Do you still have a family that lives in Boulder City?
Yeah. Couple aunts. We still own my grandma's house. It's actually a historic house, so it sits like next to the main park, and we can't change it or anything because it was government owned, and you know, and then they bought it eventually. So it's this cute little house, and yeah, I go up there every once in a while if I need to.
Mm-hmm. It's charming. Like, it's fun to just go and you can walk that little main strip and get an ice cream and hang out. There's the restaurant with the wine
Milo's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you guys know it. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it's just so cute. Yeah, yeah. Just Grandma Daisy's, get some, you know, some candy and go to the park. And
what was the breakfast spot that was over for out closed?
Well, I don't know if it closed. The Coffee Cup?
On the right when you're coming in.
I think so.
Oh, I don't know the right when you come in, but the Coffee Cup is old school. It's been there forever. My friends own it, you know.
It's definitely not the Coffee Cup then. But there was a place on it. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Hmm. Anyway.
I like Boulder.
Boulder City's really cute.
It's a nice escape.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
And then you can go to the dam, too. You know, just venture off a little bit more and go see the Hoover Dam.
Mm-hmm. We were talking before we started recording that this whole show is basically going to be the Vegas you need. I feel like we've already started doing it.
Yeah.
Boulder City.
Yeah, and the Hoover Dam.
The Boulder City you need.
Yeah. Maybe we have an offshoot. It's a spinoff. It's a Netflix series.
Bree, what was it like growing up in Las Vegas?
So I kind of had the best of both worlds, living in Boulder City, but going to school in Vegas. So I would commute, and I went to Bishop Gorman. You know, it's obviously, it was really fun. Everybody, I guess also when the school that I went to, it was kind of like someone's dad did something or someone was someone. So going to prom wasn't just, you know, I'm going to the gym, you know, and we're having prom and they put some balloons up. It was, oh, we got the presidential suite at the Mirage and, you know, we're having some dinner somewhere really nice. It was just, now looking back, that's crazy, you know, that the kind of way that we experienced Vegas and experienced it being a teenager growing up. I think that anywhere you live, you're going to have these vices and different things that you can get into. And it just depends on what you decide to do and what road you decide to go down. But, you know, when I was underage, trying to get into a nightclub was nearly impossible. I mean, believe me, I tried, and I wish that I went to Babies. Did you guys ever go to Babies?
I did, yes.
Oh, I never, you, just barely, though.
I could legally go there.
I could never legally go to Babies.
I'm 100 years older than
I don't think that. I don't think so, because remember I went to the old Gorman?
Where was the old Bishop Gorman?
Maryland Parkway.
Maryland Parkway.
And they just tore it down, which is really sad. But yeah, so it was fun, and you just kind of do that whole thing. But then once I became old enough to go to the nightclubs, it was kind of like game on, you know?
Game on.
Game on. I can now do this. I moved to Vegas when I turned 18 because I went to college at UNLV. And, you know, we partied, you know? We had fun in our early 20s, yeah.
I think there is a buildup when you grow up here, and there is all this stuff that your home is famous for that you can't partake in because it's so adult-oriented. There is a bit of a buildup, I think, for when you're in high school, especially, of like, oh, I can't wait to go and do this stuff. But there's also sometimes a letdown when you do get to go do it, that it didn't live up to whatever you expected it to be, right?
Well, also, when I turned 21 was kind of when the nightclub scene was becoming what it is today. It still wasn't on the level of nightclubs in Vegas right now. But, I mean, I think it was Hard Rock, and then the Palms opened. And other than that, you remember they had those like standalone clubs like Ice or The Drink or I don't remember, The Beach, those clubs. Mm-hmm. So that was before my time. So I got to be in my early 20s when it was like the real nightclubs in the casinos, and the Palms had just opened, and The Real World was filming at the Palms. It was like the place to be. It was so fun. And even now that I think about what I do for a living, it always takes me back to the Palms, because that's kind of where it started for me and just how things were, you know?
We've talked about that particular spurt of Vegas a lot on the show with Michael Morton was here, and he was instrumental in a lot of what you just talked about. And it's funny that, you know, a lot of people reference the Hard Rock and the Palms as sort of their turning point, so to speak, of Vegas.
It really was a big, it really did. That era was when everything changed.
Yep.
I remember walking into the Palms for, sorry, I mean, to cut you off, but I remember walking into the Palms for the first time going, what the heck is this?
Oh, it was so much fun.
You know, that's the first time I think I saw heels in a bikini for the first time. So, you yes. know, I'm like, what is she wearing? Oh, high heels, not flip-flops. Oh, okay, that's cool. Don't get them wet, you know. It's a thing. I remember seeing that for the first time going, hey, babe, is that legit? She's like, it's a choice. It stuck.
Yeah, it stuck. It's so funny. Yeah.
Well, that makes me, I feel like I have to ask you what you think of the Palms now, because obviously it's changed around so much. And we've talked about this on the show a lot this year also, kind of watching that thing mm-hmm. get reinvented. Have you spent some time at the property and kind of checked out the new stuff?
Well, I've been trying to work with them, so hopefully someone's listening that can make that happen. I think they've done an amazing job. You walk in and it's beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful. It looks like a place that I want to be. My girlfriend toured all the rooms. She's a high-end travel agent, so she's toured all the rooms. They have amazing rooms, amazing suites. Shark, great restaurant. It was so good. One of my favorite places. I think the hard part is having a club now. And you have so much competition. You have Hakkasan Group. You have the Win that just... they can bring anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
So I just think that that's hard competition. And also you're not on the strip. So you have to do something completely different to try and get people to go there, tourists to go there and to spend their money and to stay there versus Wynn or Encore and party at Encore Beach Club in excess and have the best restaurants there as well. So I just think it's so totally different now. Just Vegas is a different beast than what it was back then when the Palms originated.
Yeah.
You know, they did a great job and I love it. And I would love to be able to send some of my girls to Chaos. So, you know, we'll see.
We'll make it happen. That's our job here.
I know.
All the Vegas.
I know.
I mean, let's talk about your business, Vegas Girls Night Out. You founded how long ago now?
About 5 years ago, yeah.
5 years ago, and really what you do is plan the most amazing bachelorette parties or group parties that anybody could ever wish for, and you put all the packages together. Going back to what you said about being old enough to go out, and then it was game on, were you a big partier back then, and is that what kind of inspired the creation of this business?
I wouldn't say that I was a huge partier. I was a weekend partier. I could never do more than 2 days in a row. It's funny because in my early 20s, me and my best friend decided to do a three-day weekend. And we were going to stay on the strip. We were going to do a nightclub one night. We were going to do a pool party, day club the next day. We were going to go all out. Mm-mm. We didn't make it more than 2 days. We were at Wet Republic, and it was 500 degrees outside. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Do you want to go home? We didn't even stay the third night. We just went back home, and I think I slept the next 2 days until it was like time to go to work again. So no, it's funny too, because people, when they meet you outside of Vegas, how do you live there? Well, we don't do this all the time. I didn't even do this really in my 20s. You know, 2 to 3 days is max. You know, it's hard.
I can't do it.
So no, I wasn't a big partier. But what I was a planner, and most women are very detail-oriented that I've met. So they want to know, okay, what time are we going to dinner? How are we going to get there? Every single thing, they kind of want to know what they're going to be doing and around what time. And so that was kind of my thing when creating Vegas Girls. And that was not only are we going to have really unique offerings, so constantly keeping my finger on the pulse of what's happening in Vegas, what's new, what's a new show that would fit my demographic, or a new nightclub or bar or speakeasy or whatever it might be that these girls don't know about that I can give to them. It's expensive, and women tend to not want to spend money how a man does. So a man will go into a club and they'll spend, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 on bottle service and they don't care. Girls aren't going to do that. So they're constantly trying to find the deal. How do we do this, you know, with a champagne taste and a beer budget type of mentality? And then just detail oriented. So that's kind of how it all came about, was okay, we'll help you plan this and we'll make it really simple and we'll give you, here's your itinerary. We made it really simple for you. And then here's all the coolest, best things, you know, best things to do in Vegas. And you don't need to spend a lot of money. I mean, you can purchase a package. We do pre-made packages that we kind of handpick, you know, what we know girls would want to do. And give them really fun names. Like, we sit around the office, like, coming up with different fun names, you know, to name these things. And then, you know, try to keep it around $200 a person for an entire weekend of activities, like nightclubs, open bar, bottle service, shows, meet and greets, limos, you know, all that really fun stuff that kind of you need to do when you're in Vegas.
This makes a lot of sense when you're talking about being detail-oriented, because I'm thinking now, I've been to my share of bachelor parties living in Vegas, you know. People come in from out of town and I'm going to this bachelor party all of a sudden, even though I may not know those guys very well. I've been to all the bachelor parties, but I don't think I've ever been to like a well-planned and executed bachelor party before. So maybe that is what separates bachelorette from bachelor parties, is that level of planning, right?
Yeah, and I also think too, women like the services, you know. Men don't give a shit. Like, I remember my bachelor party. I didn't care. I just wanted to go have a kick-ass meal, and we went to a club, and then we ended up at a strip club. That was it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not taking 15 dudes to the spa.
And you don't have matching shirts.
Yeah, we don't have like, you know what I mean? Come on. I don't have a sash on, you know. But I think women are just, they need to be pampered and have a great women's weekend. And, you know, I think that's part of the culture anyway, even though it's not a bachelorette party. My wife loves to have those weekends anyway.
Yeah.
She gets together with a couple girlfriends and they go and they have a spa day and then they go have a dinner and then they might go see a show. So I can see how a bachelorette weekend, especially people coming from out of town, love that order, you know, that, hey, here's our piece of paper. This is what we're doing over the next 3 days. And they don't have to think about it. I think that's the greatest thing, because I think Vegas can intimidate people sometimes. When you get here, it's so big, so many things to do. And there is that intimidation factor, and you take that out of play, where people are like, hey, there's no worries. Here's your vacation. It's going to be great.
Yeah. And women tend to plan in advance. So they're not just showing up here and like, oh, what do I do? Where do I go? No, they're doing all their research months in advance. You know, we have some people booking a year in advance. You know, 6 months is a typical window of booking before they come. And so we make it really simple, you know, that's, you know, simplifying the entire process so they don't have to worry. And then, you know, my sales girls, you know, we want our customers to feel like, you know, they're talking to their best friend and they're just really confident in what they're booking. And, oh, they really know what they're doing. And, oh, okay, we are going to go to the best place and we are going to have the best seats and we are going to have, you know, the coolest limo ride and champagne and stop at the Vegas sign and just, you know, that confidence in the person that's helping you as well. And it's just really important, I think, for women, you know, when they're doing it.
I think it's such a great business to start with. And I didn't realize it was so new, you know, because it's only been five years.
Yeah.
I thought it just seems as though it's a staple almost. Yeah. Like,
oh,
it's, yeah, it's kind of cool. And there's so many, I talk about this all the time on this show. There's so many great things to do in Las Vegas. And I think that's one thing that goes back to that intimidation factor. It's like, what do we do? Like, you want to do everything. And I think that's why people get so burnt out over the 2 day visit, is because they want to take in so much. You walk so much, you go all over the place. You got to go try this restaurant. You got to try that. You eat too much. You drink too much. You party too much. And then you get home and you're like, oh shit, I got to go back to work.
You got to be strategic about it.
Yeah.
It's
so Thunder is the hub, right? Like, Thunder from Down Under is sort of the hub to the business. And then from there it branches out.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of, in a way, how it started. It started out with, I have a pole dancing class called Night School for Girls. That's how it originally started, before the 5 years. And so I started packaging things together with the Night School for Girls class. So you could do Thunder and you could do all these other things, you know. And then it just became really, really popular. And people started asking for more things. And so I created Vegas Girls Night Out because that brand didn't make sense. But I still have the pole dancing class. You can just buy it through Vegas Girls Night Out. But yeah, so we do tons of Thunder from Down Under. I might know somebody there. And, you know, we also do all the group sales for them. And we, because of my relationship with Thunder from Down Under, we have exclusive things that we can do that nobody else does, because it's easier for me and my team to take care of things versus, you know, like the box office and, you know, their staff. And it's just really confusing. So, you know, I handpick my seats in the showroom. So I have the best seats in each category. I know where the best seats are too, because I go to the show all the time. We do something called shout out and shots. So you can, Thunder's very organic. So they're not gonna, you can't pay to be chosen to go up on stage. They're randomly picking people from the audience. But the one thing that you can customize is you can get a shout out from the stage, like, hey, it's Bree's bachelorette party. And then the shot song plays and everybody takes shots and the whole audience is celebrating your bachelorette party. But we only do, you know, three of those for each show. So it's very exclusive. It's not like there's 50 people getting this, you know. And so because I obviously work so close with everyone over there that, you know, it just makes it a little bit different, a little bit more unique, something that, you know, you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. How long has that show been here now? Because we had Adam on the show how long ago?
It was last year. Done 30 episodes. It's amazing.
He was in the first 10, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was last summer, I think. How long
has Thunder been in Vegas? It's been a minute.
Well, in 2001, it moved over to the Excalibur. And prior to that, it was at the Frontier. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I think it was at the Stardust for a little bit.
So it's been a minute.
So it's the first male review to ever be in Las Vegas. Yeah. Everybody else copied Thunder. Yeah, so
and it just signed on for a 10-year extension at the Excalibur in the new
Thunderland.
They're going to redesign.
Oh, it's almost done.
It's almost
done. Oh yeah, it's going to be opening soon. It's going to be amazing.
And did you increase the capacity? Mm-hmm. Are more people in there now?
Yep.
Does that mean there has to be more Thunder?
There's a lot of Thunder. A lot of Thunder. Yep.
Well, the cast is going to be bigger too, mm-hmm. right?
That's what I mean. Yep. You got to add some more Thunder.
Yeah, there's going to be more guys.
Thanks, buddy. That's what I meant by there's going to be more Thunder.
Well, we're bringing the Thunder.
You got to bring it. You got to add some
There's all
more
different
thunder.
Kinds of Thunder yes. that they're bringing.
From down
mm-hmm.
under.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah, it's going to be really great.
I'm sure the property's excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, everyone's excited yeah. about it. We cannot wait to see this new showroom because, you know, it's been renovated here and there over the last, 15 years, however long it's been there, 18 years. But now this is a true renovation.
Redesign.
Yeah.
Concept.
It's going to be
beautiful. How was it working when we went into construction? Is it a different location?
Yeah.
So the show's been able to operate mm-hmm. and they're building a new spot.
So right now it's in a temporary space downstairs, which is awesome because it's a little bit more intimate.
Uh-huh.
But it, you know, it, well, you'll see when you go to the show. It's just very interactive. So the audience really feels like they're part of the show. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to pull you up on
stage. Oh, they're pulling me up.
They might. You never know.
I'm going to get the package. I'm at least getting the shots and shout out.
You should.
I don't know what we're going to be celebrating.
You're going to get the package on.
I'm going to get the package.
bigger room, more Thunder. Obviously, there's going to be more. You guys are going to be selling more group sales. How else is this going to help Vegas Girls Night Out grow with the expansion of the show?
Well, I just think that, you know, that just in general, it's just such a refresh, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like a brand refresh. Everything about it is just going to be new and fresh. It's like the, you know, the squeaky new car. It'll be the newest showroom in town. So, you know, we have all that going on and that just that excitement and the opening and everything kind of helps. Yes, you know, obviously that totally helps us, but we also help for Thunder because of the things that we do. And our branding and our marketing is a little bit different than Thunder's. So their clientele helps us and our clientele helps them. So it's kind of like both working together.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Mark. Since you don't know what's going on, the Thunderland showroom is also where the Australian Bee Gees show is. I know you know that show very well. Mm-hmm. That show is going to be in the new room as well. It's going to change times a little bit because there's going to be a third show in that room, and it's Hans Klok, the world's fastest magician, who's like super famous. He's like the Copperfield of Europe. Mm-hmm. He's coming back to Vegas. He's headlined here before. So it's going to be a packed room, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's an exciting lineup. Mm-hmm. And to have it be a new venue, that's always exciting as a performer to be able to perform in a new room, you know, the latest and greatest technology. You just feel good going to work.
It smells good.
Without throwing anybody under the bus. When we were doing Rock of Ages at the Venetian, it was fantastic because that room was built. The theater was always there, but they did a major renovation to bring in Rock of Ages. So the bowels where we spend most of our time, dressing rooms, green rooms, PT, all that stuff was designed for Rock of Ages. So we were spoiled, even more so than the Broadway company, because most people don't realize, oh, the Broadway. All the Broadway theaters, they're shit. You know, they've been there for so long that you're usually sharing a room with like 15 other actors. There's one toilet. You're lucky if there's a sink in the bathroom. You know, that's the glamorous Broadway life. We got out to Vegas and you're in this beautiful renovated room. Like my dressing room was bigger than this studio and it was just me. I used to have parties in there after the shows, just hanging out. You look at your watch and I'm like, oh shit, it's 2:30. We need to leave. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that the property's not just jazzed about having this facility, you know, because there's only so many dicks restaurant visits you can take over there.
And we're taking over the bar too. So
that's great.
Octane, the old Octane, is now getting completely remodeled, freshened up, and it's going to be kind of called the Thunder Bar. Nice. So that'll be fun too, because then we're going to do drink specials and bottle service and fun things, you know, with
You'll have the straws there.
Well, but you know, we were just talking about the straws.
We were just talking about the right penis straws.
Yes.
That can
fold down to fit in your little.
That's right. Oriental book. Trading Company. You get $1,000 for like $50.
Well, I was talking to Adam about to be able to like create a new venue basically and customize it for the show. Now that the show's been there for so long, they know exactly what they need to do. Like having tables that have rails on the side to put your drink on, so that when the thunder comes to your table and those guys jump up in front of you, they're not going to kick your drink into your face.
Yeah, smart.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Genius. Did you see the renderings? You probably have.
I saw a few things.
Yeah,
yes.
With the like.
He's seen the thunder.
It has these. I don't know what you.
I've seen some thunder in my time.
They're going to come. They have stages now. There's going to be like two more stages in the audience, so the guys will be dancing in the audience, and then you have the main stage as well. And then you have some catwalks around. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Brian next up on main stage. Brian next up on the main. That's such a dude strip club.
Yeah, that's not how
Candy,
it
Candy
happens.
On stage B. Candy Cantaloupus, stage B. Sapphire, you're on one.
You don't get that.
You do not get that at Thunder.
Scott to stage three. Scott. I want to know some dirt. What is some of the craziest shit that some of these women coming to Vegas have like requested? What is the craziest request? They're nuts. I talked about this before we started recording. I think a group of women in a sexual environment are crazier than a group of men in a sexual environment. We have rules. Uh-huh. Like when a group of guys goes to a strip club, there's code of conduct, right? Mm-hmm. I think that shit goes out the window for women at male review shows. So I want to know, like, when you get a call, Samantha from Toledo calling in saying, hey, Vegas Girls Night Out, I want... What's some of the craziest stuff you've ever heard?
So...
And you can be candy. No, there's no rules here.
You know, we've probably gotten those requests for private showings and maybe a little bit more than a private showing.
I'm available. Yeah. Just so is Brock. Ken, our engineer, he's in too. Look at, he's like, nope, I got a hockey game to go to.
Keep Ken out of this.
You know, they want the guys or guy specific. They know which one they like, you know, to maybe come to their room. Obviously, we don't do that.
It's not gigolos on Showtime.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen. So, you know, we've had those questions and if you could read the emails, I mean, they're pretty funny.
I can't read the emails, Mark.
That's a segment for Monday's Dark.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yes. Vegas girls night out request.
That's the new missed connections, that you've been searching for.
Honestly, though, I don't really get that many requests for things like that. I get.
I don't believe you.
When the funny part is that we used to have a chat on the Thunder from Down Under website.
Here we go.
And so I don't remember specifically what they said. It's been so long. But they would think that they were talking to the guys, but it was a chat to ask questions. You know, like, hey, what time is the show? Where's the tour going to be? This and that. And they're asking, like, they're directly speaking with the guys.
How big is your Johnson?
Yeah.
Send me a pic.
Yes.
And your response is, doors are at 7.
Which tour date are you interested in? Hi, Mary, how may I help you today? And, you know, they're thinking they're talking to the guys. And eventually we took it off the Thunder website because we weren't getting actual requests for the show. We were getting other, like, they were, yeah, talking to the guys. But the guys are the best. I mean, they're funny. They're real guys. They're, you know, out there doing their own
thing. Are they all 100% Australian?
Or New Zealand.
Or New Zealand.
They're from down under.
They're still down under.
They're down under. Down under. A few
Kiwis are down under too.
Yeah, right. A few Kiwis.
So I could be, literally, I could be the Bilbo Baggins of the Thunder from down under if we really wanted to. Right? Like, we have like a chubby short guy that just comes out.
You're from down under. You're from up top.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's a good bit. Special guest. A topper.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, they're all from down under. My husband, Adam, his business partner who created Thunder from Down Under still lives in Australia. So he and his wife, they recruit down there.
They're the scouts.
They do. And
they're looking for kangaroos.
I asked if I could help, but, you know, they haven't included me in on this process.
I've got my mind is going now. We could have castings.
I could tell.
But it's actually hard to find because you find these good looking guys. They're young. They need, you know, they're in their 20s, early 20s. Mm-hmm. They're not dancers. They're not strippers. They're regular, as they say, regular blokes.
Yeah. Don't you have like a teacher?
Yeah. So they go through Thunder Boot Camp, which is super interesting because, yeah, one guy was a teacher. One was like a horse wrangler. I don't know what you call that.
A horse wrangler. Yeah, like a horse wrangler. Pretty self-explanatory.
You know, just regular
guys.
That's
a nice, easy transition. I went from wrangling horses to wrangling dudes.
Yeah, so they're
You look like a stallion. Come here.
Or wrangling girls, you know, they're out there. So they have to learn how to dance. There's not like they're these professional dancers that are really good. But they're all just like regular guys that decided that this was their career move. And people don't realize, like, they come over here, they go through this Thunder boot camp, then they go on tour. Yeah. So we have two tours. Thunder has two tours, and then we have the Vegas show, and they're traveling all over the world, and that's they're awesome. Like rock stars. So they are out there, and some venues, 5,000 women screaming. Do the math. There's like 8 guys on stage, 5,000 women, and they're in their early 20s, and they're very good looking.
Are you listening to this? Our odds, pretty good, bro.
Yeah, they're having the times of their life. And then as they start to get older, that it's, you know, okay, we want to settle down. We've been out there. Let's come to Vegas now. And now, you know, they...
I know a lot of the guys in the show here locally. They're great guys.
They're super cool.
Family men. And they're just awesome.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a documentary about what you're talking about, like the camp?
We've been talking about this.
Yeah, that needs to happen. That'd be a Showtime special. HBO, you know.
Yeah.
Thunder.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting.
Finding your thunder. I want to narrate it. I want to be the voice.
Well, maybe you can be.
In a world.
I think we should make a Netflix documentary following around your bachelorette parties.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to
see. Well, that's a reality show.
I actually want to pitch Andy Cohen because I just think it would be so interesting to see these girls in their element out there in Vegas because they come from wherever they are in the country. They could be from some small little town in Iowa, and they get here, and they can be whoever they want. Mm-hmm. I mean, they let loose, they go crazy, and then they go back home, and they're back to, who you know, doing what they were doing before. But, yeah, you just kind of get to completely be whoever and whatever you want to be when you come here. And nobody
it's our slogan,
knows.
Right? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Just, and there is truth to it.
Yeah. Just don't put it on social media.
Yeah. Well, that's the trick, right? Yeah. And the phones follow you everywhere.
Yeah.
What else have you learned about? Like, it's easy to joke around and talk about kind of the cliches when you think of a Vegas bachelorette party. But what have you learned about these Vegas visitors that you didn't expect, or what has surprised you about these people and like what they want when they come to Vegas?
Well, I think that they, I mean, I don't know. I think that in a weird way, it is kind of cliche, because I think that when you think of Vegas, that's what you think of. You think of letting loose, having fun, going crazy, drinking, partying, doing the whole thing. So for the most part, I think that's what these girls are coming to do. They're just coming to have a really great time. But one of the reasons why I call it Vegas Girls Night Out and not Vegas Bachelorette Night Out is because it's not just bachelorette parties. Right. So we get a lot of girls trips, you know, maybe like a 50th birthday or some 40th or whatever it might be. So the way that they're planning their party is going to be different than a bachelorette party. So they might be more into doing, you know, a show one night, and maybe a lot of them do love Thunder from Down Under, but maybe it's something different. Maybe they want to go to Boys to Men. So maybe they're going to go do that, and then maybe they're going to do a spa one day, and they're going to do a dinner. So I get those groups where it's just different, and that's kind of why we have a little bit for everybody. And when we talk to them, when they call in or they text us, we initially say, okay, what are the main things you want to do, and what is your budget? You know, get with your friends and figure out what are like the top five things you have to do.
I think too, you know, aside from the raunchy fun, I think overall though, touring Vegas or visiting Vegas has become much more sophisticated than it's ever been. So even though there is that sexual element to it, even on the men's side, it's much more sophisticated, and I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just become cool. And there's a level of, I don't know, I just think what Vegas offers on all business fronts is such a high-end product, even at the cheap low-end side.
100%.
You know, so whether you're spending thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars, it's still presented in a way that is just really well done. I think that's what makes Vegas so special.
And that's kind of when, you know, when I travel and people say, oh, where are you from? And, oh my God, how do you live there? Whatever it might be, I say, it's actually one of the best places in the world to live. Well, first of all, I've never lived anywhere else, so, you know, I'm biased. But we have the best food, the best chefs. We have the best shows. We have the best hotels. You know, we have everything. And if you are a local and you live here, you're 20 minutes, and you live on the West Side, and I'm 20 minutes, and I live, you know, Green Valley area. You know, you can get there easily. We don't have traffic. We have an international airport that can take you direct to Europe whenever you want to go. Mexico, you want to go to a beach, it's an hour flight down to, you know, San Diego or Laguna, wherever you want to be. Our cost of living is great.
A fraction of the coast.
It's like, I mean, I don't want to tell too many people because don't ruin it. But it's just, it's such a great place to live, and it's a great place to visit. No matter who you are, what you do. Obviously, I'm in a specific demographic, so that's what my demographic likes to do. But when I do talk to people, and I'm like, they all love going to Vegas for different reasons. The shopping. We like the best shopping. You know, if I was coming here with my husband, we'd probably stay at Wynn, and we'd eat really great food, and maybe we'd go see, you know, a headliner, whatever it might be. There's just something for everyone, no matter what it is you want to do.
And you guys go to everything, I know. You go to all the, and you have to. It's part of your job, right? Because you have to always be able to introduce these new adventures into the party packages. Has there been times where you've discovered something that you really like from, you know, maybe a restaurant that you never went to, or a show or something that was kind of trending, and your clients wanted to have that as an option, so you went to explore it and found out that you loved it or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I think also with the nightclubs, I'm not going to nightclubs every single night anymore, and I'm not, you know, it's harder now. You have kids and you can't get out to go party till 2 o'clock in the morning. So when a new nightclub comes to town or someone's opening something, I always go, because I need to see what it's like. What type of music are they playing? Okay, how great is this DJ? Also, when we're selling it, hey, Dre's does, you know, top 40, and this one over here does EDM. Mm-hmm. You know, you can read about it, but you don't know what it's like when you're actually there and experiencing it. And then also, you know, just with Instagram and building up your social media, you need original content. So I'm constantly trying to get something from the Strip in Vegas just to put on social media as well. Mm-hmm.
As someone who has lived their whole life here and you're so wrapped up in Las Vegas stuff, the way that outside people, the way that visitors think of Las Vegas, you must be really excited right now because there's so much development mm-hmm. happening, from the football stadium to Resorts World to just all this new stuff is coming online. Is there something that you as a Las Vegan are particularly excited about for the future of our community?
As a local?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Raiders, given. I think that's just awesome. I mean, we're going to have a professional football team. We already have, now we have a professional hockey team. Hello.
Hey.
Which we love, and we're season ticket holders, and I've never watched a hockey game in my life before this. But, you know, so now with football, I'm not a huge football fan, but we'll see what happens there. But I just think it's exciting because Vegas was so small. I mean, even when my mom was growing up, you know, what was it, like around 100,000 people probably? So it's even smaller when my grandparents moved here, and now we're going to have a professional football team. You know, it's just crazy. And I just look at – I always look at the airport too, like the flights that they bring in. It kind of says where our city's going with, mm-hmm. you know, where people – how they can get here direct mm-hmm. from Europe. There's obviously demand. So – I just think it's great, and I think that with having the football stadium, bringing the new team here, it just brings so much more. There's so many more reasons for people to come to Vegas, to visit Vegas, and it just keeps putting us on the map. So we're just constantly kind of like staying above all the other cities.
Yeah, I think Brock has said this 100 times, as have I, what you've mentioned, the restaurants, the shows, the hotels. And seeing, I'm really excited just because we live here, seeing it spread from the Strip, mm-hmm. you know, with all these amazing chefs opening restaurants on the west side, mm-hmm. on the east side, wherever. It's affordable. The development, people are coming. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. We keep talking about it. Keep coming. I don't care. 40 million people fly into this city every year. It's the number two destination under Orlando, I think.
And it's the number one.
Number one.
We're number one bachelorette destination.
What's number two? Is it Nashville? I heard Nashville's number two, right? Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, does Thunder think of going there at all? Because Nashville is exploding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know the details. I know that they did maybe like a weekend there, or a little bit, maybe a couple weekends there a summer or two ago. But I think that, yeah, it's something you should look into. And people had told me that I should look into doing like a Nash Vegas girls' night out, because it's the second most popular bachelorette destination in the world. It's very different than Vegas, though. I don't know if you guys been there.
I've never been there.
It's so cool.
Just dabbled.
It's fun.
But I received a business proposal. Somebody sent me a pitch for Nashville, and the entire pitch was based around bachelorette parties. And that's why I was like, interesting. And that's what first, you know, when you coming on today, I was like, oh my God, I just realized that, because one of the mm-hmm. things we wanted to talk about is being, you know, bachelorette destination. And I said, I got to bring up Nashville because I'm pretty sure they're starting to creep up mm-hmm. because interesting, you know, it's such an amazing city. The food's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The music scene
great
is incredible.
Music, yeah.
And again, they have pro sports. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the next thing,
they've got all the elements.
They
got
to get the Thunder.
It's, yeah. And, you know, just spending, you know, a weekend in Nashville, you already can tell it's very different than Vegas. So kind of why Vegas Girls Night Out works so well is because I take the connections that I have. So mm-hmm. I grew up here my entire life. I know I'm friends with people that I went to high school with that now work at a certain nightclub or whatever, wherever mm-hmm. it might be. Everybody is a connection or a friend or something like that. So I basically pass my connections on to my customers, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why they're getting these exclusive deals and there's exclusive offers and something that they can't just get off the street from a promoter. That's where it's difficult for me to go into a new city. I would have to have a partner that knows the city the way that I know the way I know Vegas, they know that city. Mm-hmm. And then we'd work together and create the business because I know how the business works.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about who you know. And that's how Vegas, you guys know that.
It's any business, really. Yeah.
You live in Vegas long enough, you become a concierge. You just have monetized it in a really creative way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all get hit up, you know, saying, hey, man, can you get anybody who can do this?
Yeah.
And I usually never say no, because chances are the request is a text or two away, you know, whether it's to you or, you know, Brock. I'm like, hey, Brock, you know, yes, I want to get into this restaurant. Okay, hang on. You know, I want to get tickets to this show. Sure, hang on 1 second, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, what's that term? 18 degrees of separation?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Here
something
it's like that. One or two. Yeah. I mean,
not even.
Yeah, so I took those text messages, and now instead of texting, I just say, oh, here's the link.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Man, imagine the Vegas Girls Night Out parties.
Oh, yeah.
That you can plan with football involved somehow, and all the big, crazy football parties.
Have you had any Golden Knights requests? You can be honest, so that's a no.
No. As a local, love girls coming here for a bachelorette party. They're not interested in sports. They're interested in the nightclubs,
the thunder, the limo.
Feel the thunder. Give me thunder.
Yeah.
Lightning in the thunder.
We should open the show with that song.
No.
Girls just want to have fun.
That's right.
There you go. Way better.
Yeah.
Okay, it is time for the Vegas you need. We've got the expert of all experts in the house. Bree Steck, what is your choice? What are you going to recommend to our wonderful All the Vegas audience today?
Okay, so we have all the things on the website that are really fun and great, right? That I've experienced. But something that I think is kind of a hidden gem that not a lot of people know about is this speakeasy at the Cosmo called Ghost Donkey. And you walk through the food court and you look for this door that has a donkey on it and you go in and it's just this tiny little room. Have you guys been?
I have been, yes.
You've been? Okay. So it's just this tiny little room. There's not a lot of seats, so you have to get lucky. First come, first serve. They only sell tequila, as far as I know, tequila-type drinks and nachos. It's fun. It's a fun little, you know, hangout.
I think it's the greatest name in the history of Las Vegas.
It originated in New York.
I don't care. Where was it in New York?
It's still in New York.
I don't know where it is in New York.
It might be in Bowery, but I'm not sure.
I just love the name. I would wear that hat. Do they sell merch?
No.
They sell nachos. I would rock a hat that says Ghost Donkey.
They have really great drinks
there.
They
do.
That's, I mean, the hidden aspect of it is super cool. And then when you go in there, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about the appearance because I want you to have that surprise when you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's super cool, but it wouldn't mean much if the drinks weren't amazing, and they are.
Yeah, they are really good.
It sounds incredible. That's a great Vegas you need recommendation.
Ghost Donkey. It's hiding in the back of the Block 16 food hall thing on the second floor of the Cosmopolitan.
But tip my cap to the Cosmo, too. They have been able to, you know, stay at a level that is just grade A in my book. I love their rooms. I love the vibe of their property. It's a little funky. You know, the design is not the most easy to maneuver. One side of the building, this side of the building, but every restaurant in there is badass. The food court's amazing. The hidden pizza joint's dope. The club marquee has been at the top of the list since they've opened. They've got a great men's clothing store in there that when you're trying on suits and you look out the window, you're looking at women trying on bikinis. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I know you did.
I just don't wear suits like you do.
That's okay.
Not fancy.
I'm plugging everything about the Cosmo. You just got me going on that.
Mark, wait. Make your own pick for the Vegas.
All right, fine.
Need.
I'm going to go to something that's been in Las Vegas for a little bit over at the Link Promenade. It's the Brooklyn Bowl. I've been to the Brooklyn Bowl many times. I was recently in New York City in Brooklyn and saw the original and went to see it. And I'm really good friends with the owner. And I'm a live music guy, obviously, all things live, theater, shows. And there's just something really great about the Brooklyn Bowl and the fact that they've been able to sustain that business over there. It's such an just a giant, awesome place to go see live music. I'm not a fried chicken guy, but their fried chicken is ridiculous. Like, their food is really, really good. And you can go and see amazing, amazing entertainers and bands and artists that come through there. Just go to their website, brooklynbowl.com, click on the Vegas side. It's just a cool place to go see live music. And you can bowl while you see live music. Mm-hmm. And I'm terrible at bowling, but it's just a fun night without, you know, having to get dressed up and be bougie on the strip. It's just, it's a cool, cool place. And that that Link Promenade's awesome. You know, it's just a great place to go and be.
Brooklyn Bowl, I think, has been like one of locals' favorite places on the strip since it opened. And they've also, just because of the kind of acts that they have there, are touring acts that you're not going to catch at a different place on the strip. But also there's a lot of local acts playing there. Yeah. And I don't know if you know, but just recently they figured out a way around parking.
Oh,
so if you're local and you buy a ticket to a Brooklyn Bowl show, you take your ID, you take your ticket to the little gift shop, and they'll validate you. Yeah. As long as you're parked in any Caesars self-park.
Yeah. Oh, that's
free parking
great.
For locals at yeah. Brooklyn Bowl. There's nothing more important to locals than free parking, as we know.
100%. And isn't the food there done by, like, Blue Ribbon?
Yeah, it's the Bromberg Brothers.
Yeah. So it's exceptional food. Mm-hmm. It's very good.
They're flatbreads, and it's just awesome food. Mm-hmm. And that's rare, right? Like, mm-hmm. you usually let something slide for the experience of something else.
Yeah.
Usually you go and listen to a band and it's in a dump and the food sucks. This is a really cool venue and the food's badass and the sound kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like their whole team and they're really great to locals. Even though it's on the strip, they are very supportive of the community and there's always charity events going on there. But I love the fact that one night you could have Trombone Shorty in there who's incredible and then the next night you have Empire Records who's a local band. So, Brooklyn Bowl, it's my pick.
How do you not like fried chicken? Do they not do fried chicken in Canada? What's that about?
Oh, I'm trying to fucking slim up, Brock.
Okay, well, there's a difference between I'm trying to not die from cholesterol intake and I'm not a fried chicken guy.
Well, I'm not a fried chicken guy. Like, if you put if you put four pieces of fried chicken in front of me and you said this, I would just bite into KFC and go, well, that's shit. You know, the crappy chicken. Their fried chicken is off the chain, but I don't eat fried chicken enough to go, ooh, you know what I mean.
It is super good.
It's super good. Mm-hmm. Moist.
Mm.
That's the word I want on a hat.
There we go.
Moist.
There's that word again.
Mm-hmm. How many episodes of the 30 have I said moist? A few.
I'm going to go with four. Half.
15? No, that's half. High. That's the over-under on moist, Ken. Yeah, Ken's saying seven.
He's the numbers guy.
He's the numbers guy.
My pick is Janet Jackson.
Yeah,
she's back
is.
At the Park Theater at the end of this month. Her Metamorphosis residency. I'm a huge Janet Jackson fan. That's just like the one person I've had the biggest crush on for my whole life. She's incredible. She still is incredible. And if you are a fan, you will love this show. It's definitely like a greatest hit situation. And she just like rolls through all those songs that you love. Definitely worth it. Janet Jackson at Park Theater. I think the 27th is when it starts up again.
And I am working on getting her to sell on the website. So we do Gwen Stefani right now. And we've done like Britney and Backstreet Boys and all those. So I'm working on Janet. I'm
she's
hoping
so
that we
fierce.
Can get her on there. Yeah, she's awesome. I haven't seen the show, but we definitely want to go.
Well, it's time to go.
Yes, I'll be there.
Breestek, thank you so much for being with us today. Everybody, get over to VegasGirlsNightOut.com for all your party needs. It doesn't need to be a bachelorette party, like you said. It could be just a mom's night out. Mm-hmm. It could be a divorce party.
Yeah.
You can just make up a reason. It doesn't matter. Get your ladies together. Have the night of your lives. VegasGirlsNightOut.com. Speaking of parties, just had a big one here last night. Monday's Dark. Maximum Hope Foundation. Brad Garrett was here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the guy is just in a different league. You know, you know, when you're a just a celebrity like that, you're requested to make appearances all over the place. And, you know, we're obviously helping his organization out, but, you know, you expect him to roll in, say hello, and take off. The guy got here before the show started, came backstage, said hello to all the cast, stayed for the entire show, came up on stage after, we presented them with a check, and then he proceeded to just hang out for another 45 minutes, shooting the shit with everybody. And he was just so blown away by what we have going on with the Monday's Dark program. Like, it was just really refreshing, because we kind of take for granted, you get into that rhythm of just continually doing your gig. And, you know, Monday's Dark is a well-oiled machine. We do it every 2 weeks. There's 300 to 400 people in here. It's a different charity. It's a different theme. But to have somebody experience for the first time, and it's irrelevant that he's Brad Garrett, you know, anybody who's seeing Monday's Dark for the first time, it was just nice to hear Brad Garrett say those things to us, saying, mm-hmm. Oh, man, this is incredible. Thank you so much.
But I feel like now he set a standard for celebrity comedy club Vegas guy. Let's put out the challenge right now, Jimmy Kimmel. When are you coming to Monday's Dark?
If Kimmel rolled in here, you know, that'd be fun. So we'll put that challenge out. Thanks, Kims. You know, Louis Anderson has been in the building. Louis will probably make an appearance again. It's a cool thing. It was really special for the space and for Monday's Dark to have him here. And, you know, again, it really wasn't about that. It was about $10,000 for Maximum Hope Foundation. That was the biggest thing. And we reached the goal and we gave him $10,000.
Next one is July 29th for Las Vegas Rescue Mission. What's the musical theme this time?
We're going to do a barbecue, a backyard barbecue theme. So very, like, think Americana. Close your eyes, think of summertime, and the music, the soundtrack to your summer backyard barbecue. Those are the songs. So a little CCR, Eagles, maybe some Neil Diamond, a little Michael Bublé. The shit you have on your Pandora, just playing while you're barbecuing in the back. We're going to get some barbecue food trucks out front. We'll put some cornhole in the parking lot.
Maybe fried chicken.
There will probably be fried chicken now that we've talked about it.
Maybe we can get the Brooklyn Bowl folks to send some fried chicken over this way.
That'd be fun.
It's not very far.
It'd be fun. It's good, man. Mondaysdark.com, all things Monday's Dark.
You got some crazy shows coming to the space in August, too. I just noticed I was looking at the calendar. There's some concerts from some national acts that I was a little bit surprised you wouldn't think would be coming to the space. Killswitch Engage. I'm actually, you don't know this about me, I like that band. Yeah. It's like one of my favorite metal bands.
Well, they're probably one of the greatest metal bands out there.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They had a record called As Daylight Dies years ago. That was one of my favorite metal records ever. They're going to be at the space August 13th.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's just a testament to the small team that is here. We've always, you know, we roll things out slow and steady, and, you know, just like how you handle your business, we don't do anything without making sure it's just sort of flushed out, and we all of our I's are dotted and T's are crossed, whatever you want to say. And it's just sort of a reflection of the venue, and we're starting to get noticed in this 300 to 500 seat or standing area. There's not a lot of places like that on the Strip. Mm-hmm. And also, you know better than anybody, when you're dealing with the Strip, there are certain things that, you know, are sometimes not the easiest. And so people like to deal in business with not so much red tape all the time. And I think that's something that the space offers. It's a mom and pop shop over here, and we have an amazing sound system, an amazing light system. And, you know, when Live Nation takes notice, and mm-hmm. Brian Slagle at, you know, Metal Blade, that means we're doing something right. So there will be more acts like that to come.
Yeah, yeah. The space, LV. .com, is that right?
Yeah,
the space. I forgot the website all of a sudden.
It's okay. You're getting old, bro. It's all that fried chicken you're eating.
I gotta lay off the chicken. I don't even have to remind you to grab a copy of this week's Las Vegas Weekly magazine. I already know you're gonna grab it and hold on to it, because it's the Best of Vegas. It's the annual Best of Vegas issue. It's got all that Vegas stuff in food, nightlife, entertainment, culture that deserves to be awarded, and the Reader's Choice winners that you voted on. If you act quickly, you can still come to the Best of Vegas party. It's at XS Nightclub, one of Bree's favorite places. Mm-hmm. On July 26th, go to LasVegasWeekly.com and click on Best of Vegas and RSVP. See you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of All the Vegas. I still can't believe we've done 30 episodes of this thing. This is the most fun thing I do, And I love it.
It's fun. I love our guests.
I love our guests.
We have great guests.
Yeah. I'm honored.
No. I mean, we're honored.
I listened to some of those guests that you have. I'm like, wow. They want me?
We're going to have to have you back with your husband.
That would be fine. Mm-hmm.
And that would be a fun show because I think we can get a little bit more personal. Like, I want to know about the competitions at home.
There is none.
And your kids are so cute.
Thank you.
Unreal.
Thanks.
I follow both of you on social media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're fun.
Do you have animals?
No animals.
No pets.
That's another story.
Okay.
Another time. I'll tell you off. I'll tell you off. Animal show.
I'll tell you off.
Uh-oh.
Thanks. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We're working on some really cool stuff for all the Vegas, more great guests coming up. So stick with us. Tell all your friends about us or tell us who you'd like to hear from on the show. Shoot us a message at lasvegasweekly.com. Thanks as always to Mark and Ken, everybody here at the space. Drive carefully. Come back soon.